Psalm 71, from what we know, we understand David is the writer of this psalm. And we're going to see as we study through this that he's writing this, what we perceived and kind of what we get out of this is that it's late in his life, after many difficulties, after many, you know, adversities and adversaries and sicknesses and tragedies in his life. He's kind of looking backwards and looking forwards, but we're going to see how he has maintained throughout his life, throughout all situations, his relationship with God. All along his life, you know, he may not have been perfect and, but from his youth to middle age to now towards the end of his life, as he's getting older, he sees that reliance on God and how important that is. So a great example for you and I as we study this. And apparently during this time, there must have been another situation that David is seeking God's help and deliverance and rescue. And not sure from what, but we know of several situations that were going on in David's life. But so let's read the very first six verses of Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man, for you are my hope. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. David recognizes there's going to be situations, and he's having situations in his life that are ongoing or have happened. He says, your righteousness delivered me and rescued me and saved me. And David recognizes something that we need to always be reminded of, that God is not going to forsake us. In the deepest and trials of life, it seems like, you know, that's when we reach out to God, don't we? And we should be reaching out in all through our life. And David is showing us a great example. Did God promise that he would never desert us? Did he say he'd never forsake us? Yes, he did. And we looked at Deuteronomy 31 last week, and the same verse is quoted in Hebrews. If you look at Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, starts off, it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not be afraid. What will man do to me? So we have two different references to the Old Testament scripture there. But you think about that, how comforting it is to know that as we get older and throughout life, that no matter if our, in that situation there in Hebrews talking about, you know, money or someone that's maybe doing something to us, that God is not going to abandon us. He's our helper and we shouldn't be afraid. And many times throughout life, we, as we're getting older, this is, you know, we kind of look back in our life and maybe we weren't perfect, but we need to remember, there's nothing that God can't help us through in our difficulties throughout our life and even as we get older. You know, I thought about this as, you know, young folks, and it's not too long ago that I feel like I was one of you, but, and I look back there in the back, you young, young men and ladies, you know, it seems like your life is going to last forever, doesn't it? You almost feel like you're invincible. That end's not going to come. You know, some of you maybe heard this morning about a senator that died suddenly at age 71 this morning, and it reminded me that, you know, that these bodies are going to break down, and we're not going to last forever. But how comforting to know there, if we look back there in Psalm 71, where he says that in your righteousness, God will not abandon you. He says, in your righteousness, you deliver me, you rescue me, and you incline your ear to save me, there in verse 2. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that God is there, his righteousness. And we're going to get into this a little bit more, that he says he will do what he says he's going to do. And so go back to Hebrews 6. Go back to Hebrews in chapter 6. Look there in verse 16 through 20. Hebrews 6, the Hebrew writer writes, "For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters through the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." You know, you think about that. Is our hope steadfast and sure? You know, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not sure, then maybe you haven't taken refuge. If you don't have that strong encouragement of hope, you know, you need to be looking at God's word and seek what things you can do to draw closer to him, because Jesus is there. You know, it says he had entered in as the forerunner. He's now interceding for you and I. And no matter what the situation, he's there as our mediator and his blood continues to cover us, doesn't it? You think about this as God is taking an oath, and you think of a court of law. You know, do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, help God? You know, you all heard that in the movies, and maybe you've even had to do that in a court of law. And, you know, an oath is given to as a confirmation of the truth. But guess what? Me? I can lie. You can lie, right? But God cannot lie. It's not in his being. It's not who he is. As, you know, disputes are ended to remove arguments or doubt. You know, you and I can lie, but it's impossible for him to lie. He's going to do exactly what he says he'll do. It's the unchangeable character, it says there, of his purpose. He wants what's best for us, doesn't he? Jared, you have a thought? Okay. He wants you to have something to hold on to. You know, during the difficulties of life, and you think of David during the time of his life, and maybe you can think of you yourself and you and I as we coming towards the end of our life, and the physical bodies break down. You know, it's like, where do I turn? You know, we turn to doctors, don't we? But the other place that we need to turn, more importantly, right, is that shelter that we can have through God. What's a habitation? A dwelling? Yeah. So a dwelling, a shelter, a cover. You know, the writer here in Psalms refers to his rock of habitation, and he also says, my rock and my fortress. For you and I, you know, his blood, Jesus's blood, continues to cleanse us, and we can go to him, we go to the Father. Is there any place any more reliable? You may have a favorite doctor. You may have a hospital that you prefer, and that's wonderful. But there's no other place, right, to go for that shelter, that healing that we need through the blood of Christ. The safest place on earth. You know, you think about that. There's the protection. He won't move. He is a fortress. And if you look there at verse 5 there of Psalm 71, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. You know, so many times medication, you know, we have a lot of different medications and surgeries, and, you know, it has a 40% success rate, maybe. You know, it has a 70%. Maybe it's a higher, you know, whatever the sickness is. And you look at it in terms like that, it's 100% with God, isn't it? When it comes to things that will help you through situations in life, whether you're dealing with sickness or struggles of things that are going on in your life, God is, his righteousness is the basis of David's confidence, isn't it? He says there a confidence that he has had from his youth. You know, sometimes, you know, we have brothers and sisters that have come along late in life to Christ, and that's wonderful. You can still have that same security, right? Even if you weren't brought up, you know, in a Christian background, you can still have what David points out as a picture of God watching over him. You know, from his very beginning, David had that. And, you know, a very familiar verse to you and I, Jeremiah 29. Look at Jeremiah 29. You know, maybe you have a little plaque or a little something that has this on there, maybe. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, God is speaking to the Israelite nation as they come back from exile. And, you know, he has a plan, even though the difficulty is going on right now. He says, if you will call upon my name and pray to me, and I'll listen, if you continue to seek me and find me and search for me with all your heart, he has a plan for you, and it's good. And he will help you through those struggles, won't he? God has been good to me, David says there back in Psalm 71. Look at verse 6 there. For you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually in you. You know, even in the difficulties, he says, I recognize you've been there for me. You know, after we get past that situation, and maybe you've overcome something very tragic in your life, maybe the sickness or any other thing that's going on, you know, are you looking back and praising God for what's occurred, that he's come through for you? And look there in verse 7 and 8. Let's read that. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. You know, due to David's ability, you know, after all the situations, due to his ability to praise God continually, to show that he continues to trust in God, he continues to rely on God, and God is his refuge. And when, with all the wicked people that have come after him, he's still saying that I'm a marvel, you know, trying to do to him through all the adversity. He says he was a sign of strength. And for you and I, you think about that, you know, difficulties of life, they, you know, we all can relate, can't we? How those things can happen and get us down. But if you and I will rely on God, what will that mean to someone that's around us? A family member, someone maybe even outside of Christ. They look and they say, wow, look how that person's faith has relied on God through that difficulties. And David says, I've become a marvel. People look to me and say, wow, he continues to praise God even all after all that's happened. He continues to rely on God's strength, and God is my strong refuge there, he says. Comments? All right, let's read verse 9 through 16. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are my adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. For I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. David says, don't cast me off in the time of my old age. As, you know, don't forsake me when my strength fails. You know, so many times we, you know, as I spoke earlier about, you know, thinking that we're invincible. And as our strength fails, that's not where our strength is it? Our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is in our spiritual being. And David is coming to the end of his life, and he should be able, you'd think, to be on joy, a life of peace, right? But that's not the case. Even in old age, you know, suffering and for David here, the attacks of his enemies continued. You know, apparently, if you look there at verse 10, apparently they continue to speak evil of him. And that's difficult when people speak evil of us. But because he's now aged, they think they can get him. That God has forsaken him, even in his old age. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, we'll be reading verses 16 down through chapter 5, verse 8. So a little bit long reading here, but therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which we are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not know, want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of lesson right in here, and a lot of good encouragement that we can take. You know, as we're getting older, this is a wonderful passage to remind us. We have something more than this physical body, don't we? The earthly body, he says, is being destroyed. The eternal body is permanent. And the tent is temporary, but the spiritual building is permanent. And just like David, you and I have these bodies that are getting older, the weariness of life, and when we can't do like we used to do, you know, that's so frustrating sometimes, whether it be, you know, physically you can't do something, or you just don't have the strength to continue to go maybe do some things for folks that you used to be able to do. But we can still be reassured. You know, the verse that I really found very interesting there is the latter part of verse 4 of chapter 5. You know, Paul says, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. You know, the world says what is mortal is swallowed up by death, isn't, don't they? You know, they think that, oh, the, you know, he's gone, or she's gone. And so, but for you and I, you know, we don't put it backwards, do we? We take it the way Paul said. There's a hope in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul's saying the encouraging right there that you're dying now, but you're going to live. A pledge from God through his Holy Spirit. And we're not, experiencing that glory that we're going to have. We're experiencing sickness and trials and life in this fragile body. For you and I, the example that we see in David back in Psalm 71 is to continue to be praising God. Look there in verse 14 and 15, Psalm 71. He says, but as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I did not know the sum of them. You know, you think about that, I will hope continually. I will praise more and more. Because even though our bodies are breaking down, we can still be praising God, can't we? You know, and so because we know that sight says it's the end of life when the body dies, but faith tells us it's the beginning of life when the body breaks down and dies. Praise yet more and more, David says, praise and honor. That's what we should look more at what David does in his later in life is honoring God. And we're going to see what he's going to do, what he wants to do with the rest of his life, the remaining life that he's asking God to help him. Let's look at verses 17 through 24. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your people to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me many troubles and distresses. You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again. and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will praise you with my harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. And my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. David felt like he had more to do, didn't he? And he wants God to sustain him so he can declare what? Declare your strength to the generations. You know, as we get older, we think, you know, as David's continued to get older, he wants to teach and to show God's people his greatness. He's going to praise him in song and music. He's going to speak of his righteousness and truth. And so what a great example at the time of life to be able to look back over the past and remember what God's done for you. And to be able to want to share that with the generations. An example of spending those final years in joyful praise and showing others. He says, and for all to live a life of praise in his word and continue to praise him in song. David wanted to declare his strength to the generations in his last days. You know, you think about that and, you know, for many times we've heard people say, boy, I worry about this generation, don't we? Have you ever heard people say that? Maybe you've said that. Well, guess what? I can remember hearing that when I was a kid, and now I remember saying it now, you know. So we continue to worry about the next generation, don't we? But, Chuck, you got a thought? Right.
Because we do have strength when we're young, we don't have it. But when we get old, if that strength is still being manifested, it's like there's no doubt that it's from God.
Right.
It's not coming from David.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, but you know, David wants to declare to the next generations, and you know, like I said, we've said that we're worried about the next generation. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Let's see who's in control of things. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, we worry about the next generation. We worry about things but all things are in subjection to God, aren't they? He's in control. This generation, the next generation, this age or the ages to come, who has all the power? God does. And Paul prayed that their hearts would be enlightened so they would know what? He would pray that their hearts would be enlightened so they would know the hope of his calling. He wants them to know the hope of his calling. So for you and I, the only thing that we can do to help the next generation or this generation is to make it known to our brothers and sisters, or to our family members and those outside of Christ. Let them know the hope that is your calling, and show that example because of the riches that are in glory. You know, we all want to leave an inheritance to our children, right? Maybe you don't. Maybe they can fend for themselves, right? You want to leave something to them. What is more precious to leave to them than to show that great example of that you're, maybe even in your older age, that where your hope is, where your, what you see as glory, is to let them see the glory of God in you. You know, show them that you know who's in control. David wanted, you know, at that time to be able to praise God. And if you look back in there in verse 19 of Psalm 71, for your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You know, we wonder, where is God's righteousness in the world sometimes? We're worried about this generation or the next generation. You know, God's righteousness is going to be made known. And, you know, so much of this generation, though, is, you know, the bombarding of from media and the communications and the, you know, the easy access to things on our phones. And so many, we worry about children and what they're exposed to, and, you know, the people maybe that they idolize and they follow and they listen to and they admire, whether it be a celebrity or maybe a politician or whatever. You know, we need to remind our children and our grandchildren and our, and those around us that there's no one else like God. And His righteousness is what matters. And whenever someone says something to you, you know, ask them if it lines up with God's word. And, you know, there's a perfect opening right then and there. When they start telling you something, well, let's go look at God's word and what it says, whether it has to do with religion or salvation or morality. You know, God's righteousness is what matters, not what somebody else says on a podcast or even a religious sermon. The magnitude of His righteousness reaches the heavens. It includes all creation. In all things, we have to remember God is the standard. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not right in the sight of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. No working around that. You know, and trying to instill our family members and our chance to teach our children or grandchildren about righteousness, it belongs to God, doesn't it? Right behavior defines what's right. His truth, and like I said earlier, whether it be had to do with moral behavior, you know, it's the debate of things that go on in this life, you know, whether that's moral or not. Morality, God's morality doesn't change, does it? Society will change and they'll adapt and they'll say this is okay now and go on and on and come up with reasons why, because we need to love more or whatever. Well, if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not moral. And the same thing with God, with worship. If it doesn't line up with God, what He's given us to worship Him, it's not His righteousness. It's all wrapped up. All everything, all the heavens, everything that we do is wrapped up in His righteousness. And you look at David there in verse 24, and verse 15. He talks about your righteousness. My tongue will utter your righteousness all day long. And verse 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. That your righteousness, when, you know, is not just when we're around our godly people. It's all day long. Even through, you know, the many troubles and distresses that David had, you look there in verse 20, he says, you have shown me many troubles and distresses, you know, and maybe you're someone that you've got your, you've been handed your full of distresses. And we know people that, they've got a full share of what's going on in life. And so to, as a reminder, you know, all the things that have happened to David and being all alone and being sought after to kill. And David says, you know, throughout these troubles, he says, I will praise your name. And he says there in verse 20, well, you revive me, you know, even in a cave hiding, you revive me again. David knows and says that, oh God, who is like you? He knows there's no one else like God. He knows that what he has done for him and for God and for God's people, that he's worthy of praise, doesn't he? God has been his hope, his confidence, and sustaining force through all his life. And he says that my soul, that which you have been the redeemer. And so, you know, my encouragement today is just for you and I to use this same mindset, you know, that David has given us a wonderful example of a redeemer. No matter what we've done in life, no matter what struggles that we're going through in life, he will revive us. He'll continue to be with us. He'll be that shelter. He will not let you down. He'll be that person, that one and only person, the only being that will protect you. So that's my encouragement today. Thoughts as we close? Yeah, Ron? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yeah. It's a relationship one-on-one. That's right. And the closeness that we can have and we should have. And sometimes we lose sight of that but we have it. Sometimes we lean more on it in the difficult times, but it's always there. And, so that's good stuff. Thank you, Ron. Anyone else? Yeah, Miss Shea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we do. We get caught up in all that. And you know, that's a good thought because I can remember as a young man bringing up young children, I was caught up in all the things of life and trying to get ahead and success and doing my own thing, playing ball. But, you know, looking back on it now. And so what I want to do now with, you know, time I get an opportunity to teach my grandchildren, look, this is what it's all about, because this is a reminder. We have to stay focused on what is important,